For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn in the Word of God to two places. First to Psalm 23. In the Oxford congregation, we've been listening several times to this psalm, this beautiful psalm, which reminds us there's nothing more important and nothing more blessed than to belong to the Shepherd, the Lord Himself. Let us read together Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text is verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The basis of that comfort is also in Matthew 27. We turn to Matthew 27 and we start reading at verse 38. Matthew 27, starting at verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Dear congregation, fears are a reality in life, aren't they? If I would ask you, do you have any fears? And you would say, no, I don't fear anything. You would wonder, others would wonder, is that really so? You'd never have a single fear. Fears are reality in a fallen world. We don't have to talk long about that. But the real issue is, what takes away your fear? What is it that takes fear away for you? Is it the Lord Himself as that good shepherd? That's what this verse is about in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we listen this evening to my shepherd takes away my fears. My shepherd takes away my fear in dark valleys with his gracious presence and by his rod and staff. My shepherd takes away fear in dark valleys with his presence and by his rod and staff. The picture of a shepherd and a sheep is well known, isn't it? And this Psalm 23 is such a well-known psalm. I think, children, you've memorized this psalm. Maybe the very words of the Bible, and I'm sure also a Psalter, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. It's such a well-known psalm, it's such a beautiful picture of the shepherd and the sheep. And in this verse, we find the sheep, or in this psalm, we find the sheep fed by the shepherd in the green pastures, led beside the still waters, there is enough to drink. He restores and he corrects and he brings back when they go astray. He leads them in the right paths, and he does it all for his namesake. It's such a beautiful picture. And yet in our text, the picture changes to something which is different. Sometimes when the sheep have to go from one place to another, in Israel it is often mountainous, and the easiest way to go is to follow the riverbed. And most of the year those riverbeds would be dry. And it was only in times of rain that the water would sweep through those riverbeds, those wadis. And so often those riverbeds would carve canyons into the landscape. And so the shepherd would lead them into those dark valleys, especially if it wasn't such a bright day. And if you're then in a canyon and those canyon walls block the light of the sun, then it becomes all the darker. I read of a canyon in the area of there, of around 7 kilometers long, and in some places the walls would be well over 1,000 feet high. In some places it would only be 10, 12 feet wide. Not a place that sheep like to be. They like to be out in the plains where they can look around and the sun is shining. Places of darkness. Places of danger. Places where wild animals could be hiding in the caves. Places where robbers could be hiding as well. Places where snakes could slither out of crevices and strike. Places of darkness. Places of fear. Places you don't want to be. What does this valley of the shadow of death represent? Right away we hear that word death, don't we? And we tend to think of this valley of the shadow of death as that final going through death. Spurgeon said earlier in his life he laid this verse aside as a special promise for when he would come near to death. And then he said, I hoped that then in my last hours I might be privileged to enjoy its sweetness and to sing with joyful lips. He thought, here's a promise I'll keep for when I die. But he said, as he lived longer, and he went through difficulties, the Lord ministered comfort to him also from this text, and he came to realize that this text is not only for the last valley of death, but it is for also life. Is that so? Is that accurate? If we look at how this expression, the shadow of death, is used in Scripture, then we have to say it's not just about death. Psalm 44, verse 19 says, Thou hast covered us with the shadow of death. What situation were they in? Verse 11, Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat. Yes, there were those who died. But he also adds, And hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou makest us a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. So some were dying, some were exiled and would live many years yet, and yet they were in this shadow of death. Because there was this bondage, and there was this hardship, and there was this mockery, and there was this being exiled from the promised land. In Psalm 107, we read of such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. It's a picture of someone who comes into a prison, and he's there in the darkness of the shadow of death, oppressed. Bounds. We read in Amos 5 the exhortation to seek the Lord before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Here the shadow of death is that realm of ignorance and inability to go the right way. The valley of the shadow of death are then places of fear, of distress, of darkness, of trouble. And in a sense, aren't all those troubles of life but the shadows of death? If death hadn't come into the world, there would have been no shadows, no difficulties, no troubles, no distress. All these things are a reminder that we live in a fallen world. We've brought death into this world by our sin. What specifically can these things involve? Most often this expression, shadow of death, or Hebrew term, is used in the book of Job. Think of the deep way that he went. His possessions gone. His children dead. His health taken away. And there he was. And he said in Job 16, My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids are the shadow of death. The valleys can be valleys of great loss. When everything is taken away from you, they can be the valleys of the death of loved ones, like with Job. And how painful that can be when one's dear to you are taken away. As a family, we're reading through 2 Samuel, and you read of the mourning of Saul for, or of David for Absalom. What a valley in his life. Can be the deep shadows due to sickness and pain. And sometimes people can feel I can't handle it anymore and think that those shadows are going to become the reality of death. And sometimes those valleys seem to go on so long. It can be depression. When everything in life becomes dark and dreary and gray or overwhelmed, You don't know how to go on. The valleys can be when you have so much pain inside. You don't know what to do. Trouble of body or of mind. The valleys. But valleys can also be something else. Bunyan gives the example, doesn't he, in Pilgrim's Progress, of the valley of the shadow of death. At one point, Christian comes to this valley. And as he comes into it, these men run from the other direction, and they tell him to get away from that valley because it's a fearful place. But he keeps going. It becomes dark. And there's a fear of the unknown. And on either side of it, there is this ditch. He seems to walk on the edge of hell. And on the one side, there is this precipice. And on the other side, there is this quagmire, this swamp that would suck him in. And he hears these terrible screams and groans and voices. He comes, as it were, to the mouth of hell itself. And he hears these shrieks and howls. It's also so dark that there are these whisperings of Satan, and he doesn't know whether these thoughts that he's having are Satan's assaults or his own thoughts. These blasphemies. It shows us that the valley of the shadow of death can involve great spiritual distress. That you feel so in the dark spiritually, you grope around and there is no light. You're assaulted by Satan, and you don't know anymore, is this Satan or is this me? You could fear hell. You could fear that you will perish. You can fear that there'll be no hope for you. You can look around at all those smiling Christian people around. You can think, am I the only one that has to go through a valley? You can think, I'm all alone. No one understands. Do you remember Christian in Pilgrim's Progress as he was going? He heard some words of someone ahead of him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It was faithful. And it was an encouragement to him because he realized others have passed through these valleys, this valley before me. And God was with them. May God not be with me as well. Today, as God's sheep going through a valley, you may know that you're not the only one. Others have gone through similar valleys, and maybe you think your valley is unique. And yet there are similarities with the valleys that others have gone through. We can expect valleys because we live in a fallen world. And we have a sinful heart within us. We must go through tribulation. And we need not think that if you're truly a sheep of the Good Shepherd, every day will be sunny and you will have continual joy in your heart. But the theme this evening is My Shepherd Removes Fear. In deathly dark valleys. Secondly, with himself. I will fear no evil. It's an amazing confession, congregation. He doesn't say, I walked through that valley and now I'm out of it and I'm in the sunshine and I look about and now I fear no evil. But though I walk, I will fear no evil. As I'm going through this valley, I will fear no evil. And we say, how can that be? Is it because that sheep knows exactly how to control everything? He's in a dark valley. What does he know? Is it because there are no evils around? That's naturally when we don't fear, when we don't see any evil around us, no difficulties, no dangers, then we don't fear. Our natural problem is we're blind to our greatest danger, and that's why we don't fear. But here is a sheep in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. That's what he finds it to be, a place where there are such great dangers, and yet he doesn't fear. Is it because that sheep is so strong? By nature, we think we can manage. No, I don't need help. I can do it. And we don't want to admit that we fear. We think we can manage. So that's how it is with his sheep. Doesn't God teach all his sheep how helpless they are? How utterly helpless. That's actually, especially why God uses sheep as a picture of his people, because they are utterly dependent on another. I shall not fear. That shows also in that expression, I walk through the valley. It doesn't say I bolt through that valley in fear of what might be behind me. It doesn't say I balk and I refuse to go any further for fear of what's ahead of me. I walk through this valley, step by step. What's a secret? You know already. Thou art with me. That's the secret. If the Lord is with you, there is no reason to fear. The shepherd doesn't come to a valley and say, "Now, you sheep, go through that valley, and I'll meet you on the other side." He doesn't send his sheep into valleys. He doesn't stand on the other side and send a messenger with instruction, "This is the way you have to go, and then you'll reach me." No. He goes with his sheep through the valley. In the darkest hours of life, he does not forsake his sheep. Exactly then, he is most concerned to guide their every step. The more dangerous the path, the more care God has to direct every step and keep safe. In the most difficult times, he leads his sheep to depend most on him. Don't you notice that here? In the first three verses, the psalmist has repeatedly spoken of the shepherd. He. He's speaking about the shepherd. But now in verse 4, when he comes to speak about this valley, he begins to speak to the shepherd. Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff. He's speaking to the shepherd. And isn't that so, that God so often in the midst of the trials, you can no longer just speak about him, but you must speak to him. You must cry out to him because you realize you cannot do without him. Has he not used trials to make you realize how much you need him? Then in those difficulties, others cannot comfort your soul. Then in those assaults, past experiences cannot shield you from the present dangers. Who you are and what you've been cannot quiet your fears. Only the Lord will do. The valleys are used by the shepherd to bring close to him. Maybe that explains why he leads through valleys. Because he knows how prone his sheep are to begin to confide in other things and in themselves. And so he brings into the valley where nothing else is left but him and him alone. You testify of such times? Difficult times. And yet you look back and you say, They were good times. Because He was with me. He was. And even in the trials, can give songs in the night, still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. Some years ago when I was in China, I spoke to a man who had been in a work camp and in prison for close to 20 years. When he first came there, or for some years, he had to work in the cesspool of that camp, where all the waste is, not a place you want to be knee-deep in. You can imagine that others didn't want him to be around either after he had been there. Dreadful work. And he said those were some of the best years of my life. Because never did I feel closer to the Lord than when I was there. And as he sat in his chair, he said, those years in the camp were one long lesson in the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God to be with me and never to forsake me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But maybe there is someone tonight who says, but I feel like I'm in the valley, but it feels so dark in the valley, and I don't enjoy His presence with me. How can I then have that comfort? He is with me. If I don't feel that favor of God in the midst of these trials, that can also be in the life of grace. You think of Job. There's a time when he says in Job 23, behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. And He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. Job says, I'm here in the dark valley, and I cannot see God. Had God abandoned him? Had God forsaken him because he didn't feel the presence of God? God can't. Because God's faithful to His word, to all His sheep. Isaiah 43. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. I will be with thee. That's His word of promise to those whom He has redeemed from the power of sin, from the claws of Satan, from death, to belong to Him. If you're His, He will not forsake you. He says it, I will never leave thee, no, never forsake thee. He can't break His promise even in the darkest hours when you don't feel Him, when you don't see Him. And maybe you don't feel Him and see Him to teach you to walk by faith. Though I see Him not, yet I know He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. That's a secret. If He is with you tonight, you are safer with the shepherd, no matter how deep the valley may be that you go through, than in the most pleasant places outwardly without the shepherd. That's why there is this flip side that we have to say as well, that if you don't have him as a shepherd who's redeemed you, who's called you by name, who said you are mine, if you don't belong to him, if you haven't come to repentance, to be brought into his fold, see what you miss. If he is not with you, you are going through life on your own. And a life on your own is a life in the shadow of death without anyone to be able to truly help you. And maybe you don't feel that. Maybe you think life is good. You haven't suffered so much. Even in these last months with all the scare, life has gone on for you. And the sun shines. And it's a summer month. And you can go out. And you can be on your vacations. And you can have a good time. And you're certainly not in a valley. Well, thank God if you're not suffering in the way that other people are. If he spared you from so much suffering. But does that mean you're not in danger? If you don't have the shepherd, as the one who laid down his life for you, are you not in the greatest danger even while the sun is shining? Because to be without the shepherd is to be under the wrath of God. You don't feel it, but it's reality. God's word says it, and God's word is more real and true than what you feel. What will happen when troubles come? When you feel the symptoms of cancer? Something unexpectedly happens in the economy, like happened some months ago, and you lose everything. What will happen? What will you do when brokenness enters your home? And I hope it doesn't, but if it does, what will you do when your dreams shatter? And then you have to go through life alone without him. What will you do when you approach death alone? How will you do when your conscience begins to speak the truth about yourself and the truth finally begins to dawn on you that it is true, I have been a sinner and I have incurred a guilt and there's no shepherd to lead you through? What will you then do without a shepherd and only sin and only guilt? And only a judge in front of you. Oh, my friend, how will you face death alone? Don't presume the Lord will be there as a shepherd to lead you through in the future if you don't have the Lord as a shepherd today. Don't presume he will be there to comfort you then if you don't have his grace today. It's about today. There's not a more miserable sight than a lost sheep who doesn't want to follow the shepherd, who thinks he can find his own path through life in the sunshine, only to realize he's deceiving himself. And maybe you sense that deep down. It's not all sunshine. And maybe those fears creep into your heart at times. And there's times when your conscience does accuse you that it's not enough just to have things going well outwardly. You need a shepherd. There is a shepherd. And there's a shepherd who's gone the deepest way to be the shepherd. There's a shepherd who himself has gone into the deepest and darkest valley of death and who went it alone. In that valley he was forsaken. Forsaken not simply by men, but by God himself. Forsaken not in pleasant places, but in the shadow of death, or must I not say, in death itself. The darkness of death. The darkness of separation from God. The darkness of being cut off from his Father's friendly face. That's what he entered into, and out of the pitch darkness of that separation from God, he cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He was given up to the worst darkness, the worst death, the worst wrath of God, in the place of those who deserve to be in that outer darkness forever. And because of that, he now comes to you who are still heading for that darkness, not just a valley, but a pit of darkness. And he says, "I have gone alone into that darkness to take the place of sinners like you and to deliver them from that darkness and death and to be their shepherd and to reconcile them to God so that God may be with them even in the darkest moments and lead them through those valleys unto himself." He now comes as that Savior and he invites and he calls, "Come unto me. Don't go through life alone. Come unto me this day. You think you can manage alone, you can't. The things you don't even fear will be your eternal terror without me. Come unto me. Come. And I will redeem you. And I will save you. And I will make you mine. And I will lead you through this life." You know, if you struggle with that question, whether he's your shepherd or not, don't just focus on whether you feel he's with you or not, but hear the gospel of a Savior who was forsaken in the darkness of death to gather sheep into the light of life and to be their shepherd through this life. And let that gospel draw you to him. When you do not understand why he would ever be your shepherd, that you would see in the cross why he is such a shepherd. It's nothing more blessed to have him as a shepherd, to lead you through this life, along the quiet waters, in the green pastures, and also through the valleys. And maybe he leads you through the valleys at times to teach you the more. The preciousness of what he's done. Going into the deepest valley. There to learn, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." But there in the valley he shows, "Yes, you're suffering, but I suffered so much more. Because I bore the guilt, the curse, the condemnation." And there he assures you, "If I have done that for you, I will then never let you go to that place of deepest suffering. I will never let the valleys of that I lead you through let you fall into the pit. But I will lead you through those valleys. I will be with you, especially in the valleys." God, my friend, does that make you say in response, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Whatever the future brings." Dear congregation, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the question remains is, how is he present? How does he show his presence? And the answer is, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It speaks of a rod. A rod may have been a heavier stick. Some have said with a knob at the end. That rod could be used as a weapon to defend sheep against the dangers. A snarling wild dog came towards the flock, then the shepherd could go there with that rod in order to drive that dog away. And if he was there in the long grass and he saw that snake slithering there, then he might take that rod and he might dash that snake on its head to kill it. A rod was needed in order to protect and defend the flock. Christ is presented as also having a rod. It speaks of him having a rod of iron that will never be broken, a rod that will overcome all opposition to him, all enemies of him and of his precious sheep. He will defend his church. He will allow Satan to come so close and no closer. Or to again use a picture in Pilgrim's Progress, he will have those lions on the chain. He will not allow them to destroy. He will not allow that old serpent to strike and to kill one of his sheep. Christ has already gained the victory. On the cross, he has already crushed the head of the serpent. He has conquered those powers. He will not allow robbers to steal his sheep in the dark. He's paid the price of his blood for them, and he will defend his sheep with his rods. None shall pluck them out of his hand. Isn't that what takes away fear? I am in the midst of enemies, and those enemies are way stronger than me, and I am no match for all those enemies. But when I see his rods, and I know he is there to defend and to protect, then I need not fear. As long as I see his rod of protection and defense. And at times he shows it, doesn't he? And you may be tempted and you may be assaulted. And he subdues that power. He shows his rod of protection. He gives that outcome. He's present with his rod. He's present with his staff. And it said, that staff may have been a lighter and longer piece of wood with that traditional hook on the end. It could be used in order to show care to the sheep in many different ways. If a lamb was running the wrong way, you could stretch out that staff and hook its leg and stop it. If it had fallen into a hole, he could use that staff in order to help it out. If it was being stubborn, he could use that staff in order to tap it, in order to get it going, or keep it from going a certain direction. The staff could be a means of discipline or guidance or rescue, but it was always a means of care. He says, that gives me comfort. When the Lord shows his tokens of care towards me, and correction even of me, and even when he chastises me, it gives comfort that he hasn't forgotten and forsaken me and given me up. It's painful. But it's still a comfort because it means he's still with me. He shows us tokens of his presence when he corrects and when he rescues. And when he guides onward, such a comfort to know he's still working as the shepherd, even in my life. It's even been said that the shepherd would strike the rock with his staff as he walked, tuck, 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 so that the sheep could know the shepherd is there. He's present. I'm with you. Sometimes spiritually it can also be in quiet ways that the Lord shows, I am mindful of you. I have not forgotten you. And maybe it's just that tuck of the staff, if I can put it that way. What seem to be small things, and yet they're rich. If the Lord is with you with his staff, what evil need you fear? Then you're not alone. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff show thy presence, and that gives comfort to me. He will lead. It's also such a comfort that he leads with that rod and staff through the valley. The deepest valleys are only for a time. It's on the way to those broad pastures where there's plenty and safety. The shepherd doesn't bring sheep into valleys in order to live there. He knows they cannot live in the valleys. He leads them through the valley to the pastures. And is that not the language of faith to speak of him leading through the valley? Psalm 30, for his anger may endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And sometimes that night can be so long. Sometimes that moment can seem to go on so long. But yet, in the whole scheme of things, it is but a moment. It is but a night. It is but a passing through that valley. The valley will not have the final word for any one of the sheep whom Christ is leading. He will never leave one behind in the valley. He will lead them through. He will lead them also through the final valley to go through. And that is the valley not only of the shadow, but of death itself. All the physical pains and weaknesses we feel as we grow older are only reminders that we are approaching that final valley. They are the gathering shadows of death. And we don't like to think that sometimes, but it's reality. One day we'll have to go through that final valley. Do you think of that? And I don't just mean ones who are retired already. Yes, you have to think of that. And sometimes in your 60s and 70s you still say, oh, I feel so young. Be thankful you feel so young, but the reality is, you're not so young anymore. You're coming close to the end. But there could be a young person here tonight who's even closer to that valley of death. Who can tell who will be next? And again, do we just push away that thought? What a poor way to deal with the fears of death, just to push away the thought of death. The better way is to bring those fears to the shepherd, who takes away the cause of fear. And that is by removing the sting of death, removing sin itself. He's the one who does so. If you have him as a shepherd, death may still be the last enemy, but that death has been disarmed. Years ago, there is a man whose wife passed away, a God-fearing lady, and he was left behind with two young girls, and they were driving to the funeral. And they were in the back and they pulled up to a stop sign, a stoplight, and beside them came one of those big transport trucks. It was a sunny day and suddenly they were in the shadow. And he asked his daughters, girls, what would you rather? Be hit by the shadow or by the truck? They thought that was a strange question. Of course you don't worry about a shadow. A shadow can't harm you. And he said, your mother only went through the shadow of death because Christ went through the reality of death in all its dreadfulness and curse and condemnation. If you belong to this shepherd and you come to that time when you have to go through that valley, you may look up against it, but it'll turn out only to be the shadow of death, because the shepherd has gone through the reality of death in all its fullness. Therefore, I will fear no evil, says the psalmist. You too. Maybe you say, but I still have fears. Did you hear the theme? My shepherd takes away my fears. If he's the one who takes them away, where else will you go with your fears than to the shepherd? For him to take away. Amen.